you know, old enough to know better, and he was always very, critical and like picking apart the guys who maybe made a misstatement from up front or didn't phrase things right, and he was always picking, right? And so, you know, they did a very wise thing, right? And they gave him the opportunity to speak. And then all of a sudden, he was a lot more understanding about what the guys said. So sometimes it just takes a little bit of experience. And, you know, I do really appreciate kind of the culture that we have of getting a bunch of different people up here and the opportunity to be able to learn what they know and to be able to share those things. It's amazing the way that we hear things differently from different sources. You know, a lot of times the information can be the same, but when it's presented a little bit differently, it can really help people to connect dots that were otherwise unconnected. Jeremy knows they visited Wasion this morning, and he did a tremendous job for our Sunday school. But he knows he's given me extra time because I got a lot of material to cover. I will do my best to make it coherent. I'll talk fast, if you'll listen fast, we'll work together. And if you got any questions afterwards, happy to address those. Let's go ahead and start out, though, in Colossians chapter 4. I did some of my introduction during Sunday school, so I'm just going to cut right to it. Last week, we were talking about the purpose of the church is to seek and to save that which is lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. That's why Jesus came, was to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the great commission that was given to us, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And so we are ambassadors for Christ, and as ambassadors for Christ, we're begging the world on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so we have the privilege and the responsibility of sharing the gospel with the lost. And so today what we're really going to talk about is we're going to talk about how to conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. Okay, so even before I read Colossians 4 and verse 5, I do want to make a point about our internal motivation. Our internal motivation has to be a motivation of love. If we don't have the motivation of love, every other motivation will come up lacking. Because all of those other motivations are self-serving in some way. And our evangelism, if it is self-serving, then it's not serving Christ and it will fail. I've seen this happen in a number of different ways. I've seen this fail because of individuals who are more about what they might call the growth of the church instead of caring about individual souls. I've also seen this go in the direction of numbers that take place very, very quickly and very, very rapidly because of the desire for those numbers, then they back off the truth, right? And that doesn't help anybody long term. It doesn't give them any sort of eternal security because they've backed off the very thing that we're supposed to be sharing with people. And so there's a lot of different motivations that can be in the wrong place. Ultimately, we want to make sure that our motivation is in the right place. That is love of others. Love God, love others. And that's why we're compelled to speak, because we do love God and love others. Any other motivation is going to come up short at some point in time. Okay? So Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. So we're going to talk about some aspects of making the most of the opportunity. But again, the motivation of love has to be there. It has to be love of God, love of others. That's going to include telling the truth. It has to include telling the truth, because you cannot lie to someone to get them to heaven. It doesn't work, right? That's not possible. We're looking for truth seekers, those who love the truth, who have good and honest hearts. Okay, so the first thing that we want to make sure that we have is we want to make sure that we have the proper conviction. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Second Corinthians 4:13, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak. We believe, and that is what compels us to speak. And that, because we understand what is on the line when we're speaking to an individual, that their eternity is on the line, that is why we are motivated to open our mouths. Okay, we know that it is the difference between people spending an eternity with Jesus or people spending an eternity in hell. And so we want to make sure that we have enough love and care for other people that we have the conviction to be able to say something. We want to have the proper conviction. And that starts with the proper conviction about Christ. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. It's going to take full conviction. It's not, you can't do this half-heartedly and expect to get the type of results that they got in the first century. You can't do this half-heartedly and expect to make disciples. Disciple making has to be what you are about. Going, making disciples, immersing, and continuing to teach those disciples. That has to be done with intentionality. That can't just be, well, if I get to it, or, you know, sometimes people make this big, huge to-do about, like, it could also be translated as you are going. Well, okay, you know, if something is on my to-do list, but it doesn't actually have to get done, it's just like, if I get to it, I don't get that thing done, right? It's like, I would rather, you know, or it'll be there tomorrow, right? You know, I'm the kind of guy that, like, I'm usually about 2,000 miles over my oil change number, right? Because, like, it can get done tomorrow. You know, go. There's an imperative there. Go. Make disciples. Immerse. Continue to teach those disciples. You got to get it done. It has to be on your mind if you want to really get it done. And so our conviction has to be there about Christ, and that's going to have to motivate us to overcome things like rejection. You know, people reject the truth of the gospel. You guys know that. And so is our love of Christ able to help us to overcome that potential rejection? Is our love of others? Sometimes, okay, this isn't the case always, but sometimes you have to love the person enough to be willing to sacrifice the relationship to tell them the truth. Now, again, a lot of this is relationship building. A lot of this is relationship growing. But there does come a time where, you know, people do not want to hear the truth, and that's exactly what they need to hear. And we need to be willing to tell them the truth because we actually care about them. You know, go to Mark chapter 5. As you're going to Mark, I want to remind you of the Samaritan woman, right? Remember the Samaritan woman, and, you know, we talk about, you know, she's asking a question about where people ought to worship, and, you know, she's like, okay, you know, do we worship on this mountain, or do we worship in Jerusalem where you people say that we ought to worship? And Jesus answers her question, and, you know, he tells her to go home and talk to her husband, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's right, you have all those husbands, right? And then, but a lot of times after John 4:24, we stop reading. Right? But there's a whole lot more there. You know, it's interesting that the Samaritan woman goes back into town and she tells the men, oh, you know who I found? She says it this way, come see the man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? Well, that's particularly interesting, isn't it? I mean, I think she was convinced that it was the Christ, but she knew she had a bit of a reputation. And what is it? What is it that's going to be more convincing? Hey, guys, guess what? Come with me. They're like, oh, she's a little bit loopy. But if I say, hey, guess what? He told me all of this stuff. You guys know it's true. about me. This isn't the Christ, is it? Well, let's go check it out. Let's go find if this really is the Christ, right? And so in that same way, she believed, and so she had to tell others. If we believe, we will have to tell others. We have the conviction to be able to tell them. Mark 5 and verse 19, I want to hit this one as well. And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home and tell, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. So one of the things, like in 18, he says, and as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was entreating him that he might accompany him. Why did he want to go with him? He wanted to go with him because he was so thankful for what Jesus had done for him. Right? Well, are we thankful for what Jesus has done for us? Do we have that kind of gratitude? And so if Jesus asks or requests for us to do things, it's not like a manipulation or a compelling. Like, we're really thankful that we've been beneficiaries of the gospel, and we want to share that good news with other people too. We have that gratitude that motivates us. Now, again, one other thing before I get to conviction about the church, you know, one of the challenges that we'll get sometimes is like when we're working with other people, it exposes and reveals our own vulnerabilities and shortcomings. That's a feature, not a bug. It's a feature, not a bug. Because it's like, oh, I suppose if I'm going to teach about this, I better get it straight, huh? Or, oh, I got to reach. You ever notice, especially with your kids, but with other people generally, you will do things for others that you wouldn't do for yourself, right? You will make commitments and do things for other people that you wouldn't do for yourself. Why is that? Right? And so you think that God has that baked into the system, that the things that we really need to do is going to be motivated so that we can help other people? Okay, I got to move quick. Conviction about the church. I started out reading in public reading Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and you're going to be familiar with that. We're going to go over that a whole bunch. It talks about the one body of Christ. We've got to be convicted about the church. Remember, you can't have Jesus and not have his body. You can't have Jesus and not have his bride. And so Jesus is the one who adds to the church. Jesus loves the church. And so the church has to be a part of your commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's what, it's one of the things that Jesus is like super excited to tell people about was the church. Okay, remember John the Immerser, what was he preaching about? The upcoming kingdom, right? The apostles, what were they teaching about? The upcoming kingdom. Jesus, what was he teaching about? The upcoming kingdom. Even after his resurrection in Acts chapter 1, you can see that Jesus taught them about the things concerning the kingdom. We know the kingdom is the church. Well, if John the Immerser, the apostles, and Jesus are excited about something, should we be excited about that thing? And we have it now. We don't have to pray, thy kingdom come. It's here, right? And we're there. And so we have to have conviction about the church because there is one church, one body of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned before, we have to have conviction about the condition of the lost. It has to be about saving the ones that we can reach. This is incredibly important because your conviction and your understanding that God is a just God. And so God is going to judge in accordance with his word. You got to really process that because people will try to get out from under that. They will try to find ways to weasel around it. They will try to say, well, only God can judge. God is the judge. But you know what? He's told us exactly how he's going to judge. And so for him to judge in any other way than what he has communicated to us that he would judge would be inconsistent with his character. It would make him a liar. God is not a liar. And so God is going to judge in accordance with his word. So point blank, we know that that means that if a person has not been in this covenant, if a person has not been immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit after believing, repenting, and confessing that Jesus is Lord, they are not a Christian. And so they are not headed to heaven. And so that's a challenge because people don't like to hear that, because we all have people that we love and care about who are not going to make it. I don't like that. You're not supposed to like that. That's supposed to motivate us. And so when we encounter people, we cannot soft sell, because the Lord is going to judge in accordance with what he has said. Now, that doesn't mean that we still can't connect with someone emotionally, that we can, again, never back down. Never, ever, ever back down. But you can think about things, okay? You know, relative that you care about, so your contact comes to a recognition that they didn't make it, okay? Can you still appreciate the spiritual foundation that they laid in place for you to be able to be where you're at right now? Can you appreciate that? You know, can there even be a, you know, if you want to call it a legacy there, that you appreciate them getting you on the right track? Is there a biblical example where people who didn't make it are imploring their relatives to be able to make it? Yes. Read Luke chapter 16. Okay? So you can say, hey, this person loved you and cared about you, right? Absolutely. Do you know what they want for you? You can go to Luke chapter 16. Man, that guy had five brothers, right? And he's like, if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll listen to him, right? And so you can relate to a person on a personal level and still not back down. And that is exactly what we have to do, because that's the only way that people are going to have the type of conviction to be able to overcome. And guys, let's be really frank. Someone's acceptance or lack of acceptance with reality doesn't change reality. That's not what I would lead with them when they're figuring out that grandma didn't make it, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Like, well, guess what? Like, no, okay? This is not what I'm encouraging you to do. But you have to think through this, right? It's like, can you do anything about the people that have gone on before us? But you have your kids and your loved ones, right? Do you want to make it harder or easier on them? Right? And so you got to kind of think through some of those things, that our acceptance or lack of acceptance of reality doesn't change reality, and it doesn't change a person's standing with the Lord. Ultimately, we've got to be convicted about what this says. If we're not convicted about what this says, what in the world is the use of taking it to anybody else? Okay, next point, contacts. You know, one of the things, go to John chapter 18. You know, recall to mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about, you know, one says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. And basically, one of the things that it points out there is that, like, you know, they're just servants of Christ, and ultimately it's the Lord who causes the growth. Now, later on in that chapter, it says, hey, be careful how you build. Right? Build with good materials. You're responsible for the way that you build. But who's the one who's causing the growth ultimately? It's Jesus Christ, right? So what's your job? Sow the seed. So in John chapter 18, John 18 and verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We talk all the time about how we're looking for truth seekers. We talk about how it's the individual's responsibility to ask, seek, and knock. You are just the one who spreads the seed. So one of the things that does is that takes the pressure off of you. It's not about how well did I say it. It's like, just say it, right? It's not about, you know, was, you know, you can tie yourself in all sorts of knots if you're thinking it's about your performance. Again, if it was about performance, God would use angels, right? He just wants you to sow the seed. He just wants you to help other people to understand the good news of the gospel, of what Jesus has done and continues to do for us. And so we want to sow the seed, and we don't want to prejudge the soil. It's one of the things, I think I have time for this brief story. Me and Jeremy were talking about this recently. You really don't want to use external considerations to make a determination whether you think somebody's going to be a good contact or not. You really don't want to do that. And in fact, sometimes it is, in my experience, and I would submit to you, that sometimes it's the religious people who are the worst contacts. Because they're already entrenched and they have a sense of morality that honestly leads them up to a point where they don't actually need a relationship with Jesus. Because they've already got their system, they've already got their people, right? And they're not looking anymore. There's no asking and seeking and knocking. They think that they have found, and they're not really interested in you telling them any different. One quick story. I had a guy by the name of Ryan, not Clark. I had a guy by the name of Ryan who I came across. It was kind of funny. It was after a Bible study. I was walking in the park, came across this guy. He actually, I think he was having a Bible study, ironically enough. And he approached me and invited me to this Baptist Bible study. I was like, huh, that's interesting. Anyway, long story short, I ended up rabbit shooting him. Okay, the next week, we had a big, long conversation. I had noticed that he actually knew his Bible. And so I wanted to get to proof that the Bible is the Word of God. But because he knew his Bible so well, I just went through the rabbit shooter's guide. It was very interesting because I brought up a number of questions that he could not answer. And so I was persistent. I was gentle. I was kind. But I was persistent, right? Well, I mean, this guy, he could handle it, right? You know, he's a grown man, and, you know, he knew his Bible, and so I was going to push, right? And I brought up a number of questions that he could not answer. But you know what? Never responded back. Never came back. Because he was pretty comfortable. He was good right where he was at. And so, again, just because somebody's in a life situation that looks like, man, they're probably not interested. Remember that the thief on the cross was being hung for good reason. Don't assume that people like criminals don't know their scriptures or aren't spiritually interested. Right? A lot of times they're acting out because they haven't been able to find any answers, man. And they're looking for somebody to give them the answers. I remember David Mann, probably the first time we met. He said, I'm just here at fellowship because my friends are here. He said, second thing is I'm an atheist, okay, and I'm going to argue with every point that you make. And I said, welcome. It's like, hey, that's great, man. And, you know, David gave the Lord's Supper meditation today in Wauseon, right? I mean, you're looking for people who are asking questions. Okay, so make the most of the opportunity. Again, if the Lord doesn't go with us, our journey is doomed. We want to study and we want to pray. Okay, and we want to work through those things so that we are working together with the Lord. We want to have mental preparation. Now, there's a number of different things that you can do. I would encourage you that this is not one size fits all. The way that you connect and work with people and get your Bible studies is going to be different than me. I am not Mr. Smooth, okay? So it helps me to have some lines when I'm talking with people to get people from the point of we're just having a spiritual conversation to actually getting a study. I'll share one of those with you. You know, sometimes I'll go down the line of, hey, one of the things that me and my wife really like to do with people is just sit down and study the scriptures. Is that something that you would be interested in, right? I've got Tuesday and Thursday at 6:30. Well, I don't have Thursday at 6:30, but, you know, Whereas a lot of times what do? Is we anticipate no's, right? And we're really nervous. And so, you know, we tried to do something like, hey, this is something that I really like to do. We like to have personal Bible studies with people and learn more about the scriptures just like we're having now. You know, can we do that Tuesday night, maybe over dinner the first time? That's one question. But we start to anticipate the no's, right? So it's kind of like, you've been thinking about this and, you know, you were at assembly on Sunday. And so Monday you've got the courage to ask for a Bible study. And so Tony's my coworker, right? And hey, Tony, how was your weekend? Oh, good. Yep, I had a good church meeting. Hey, you know, we were having a spiritual conversation last week, right? Yeah. And yeah. And so you probably wouldn't be interested. You know, I know that you're really busy. Works a lot and you've just gotten addicted to pickleball. And so you're a really busy guy and, you know, school's starting for you. I know that's happening. So, you know, you probably wouldn't be interested, but I really have found some things in the scripture. Do you want to sit down sometime? How many yeses do you think you're getting with that? You're making me feel uncomfortable right now. Could you please stop? I might tell you yes just to get this conversation over with, but no, we are not having study. Because what happens? We psych ourselves out and we anticipate a no. Anticipate yeses. And it's amazing. If you anticipate yeses, if you're excited about it, if you're enthusiastic about it, people can even tell you no and not even remember that they told you no. Right? Luke Wilson tells a story all the time about Nolan Toole, that he asked him for a Bible study two or three times before Nolan said yes. What's interesting about that is that Nolan didn't even remember that. I had no idea, right? It's like, oh, yeah, okay. So anticipate the yes, and if you need to, have a couple of lines that you have that will transition you to the place where you want to go. Now, if that doesn't work for you, if that feels awkward for you, don't do it. Right? Like, don't do it. Like, just, you know, naturally get there yourself if that's the way that's going to come off, right? But know yourself well enough to put the work in, okay? There can be all sorts of challenges that come with this, you know? A challenge can be when to ask for the study. You know, you can push too hard or can push not hard enough. You know, a challenge for all of us is things like time management. Like, we have job responsibilities, we have family responsibilities, and so you have to manage your time to make this important. It could be a challenge to meet new people, but the Lord really wants us to, he gives us the creativity in the go make disciples, immerse, and continue to teach those disciples to be able to use our creativity to get to that point, okay? again, we've already talked about this, but we really want to have love as the foundation. It can be a challenge because if you are investing in people, you are going to be hurt, okay? So the way that it's going to go is that if you're really willing to invest, if you're going to love, there is going to be heartbreak involved. That's the bottom line. And you think about it, you're not going to be hurt or betrayed to the extent that Jesus was. And so if our master can do it, as servants, can we do it too? And should we expect the same treatment? Yeah, okay. So don't be a noisy gong. Don't be a clanging cymbal. Lead with love of others. In a lot of ways, the way that is communicated is being willing to inconvenience yourself for their sake. Are you willing to inconvenience yourself for their sake? Are you willing to meet them where they're comfortable? There's something that's happened societally. It used to be that people would be really comfortable meeting in their home. A lot of times people don't want you in their home anymore. So meet it in a neutral place. Meet at a coffee shop. Meet at Mickey D's. And don't be a cheapskate. At least buy a pop, okay? Meet at their convenience, okay, so that they understand that this is not about you. Don't cancel, especially early on. Do not cancel. Okay, now, again, is that my law or my rule? No, obviously there are things if your kid has pink eye and you're meeting at your house, please cancel. They don't want pink eye, okay? Like, but what is it that if you cancel, what does that communicate to them? Well, it's not really that important. Well, you know, the night that Lost has been off the air for like 15 years. But the night that Lost is on Changed, and so I don't know. We're gonna have to cancel study for six months while we watch Lost, because that's really important to our family, right? I mean, you get excuses like that all the time, right? If you don't care about the study, why should they? Okay, so we got to make sure that we are being willing to be used for the sake of the gospel. And so another way that we can communicate that love towards them is to really listen. People don't listen as a general rule. And you don't want to be the type of person who shows how much they know by dominating the conversation. That just shows how unwise you are. Okay? And so you want to make sure that we are practicing the quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Another way to communicate care is teach to objections. Don't just do things randomly. Don't just, hey, you know, I've been really thinking a lot about the Gospel of John, so let's go through the Gospel of John together, you know, because there's some things that they'll pick up through the Gospel of John, you know, like John 3 about Nicodemus, and they'll pick some things up, and I've been really wanting to study about the Gospel of John anyway, so let's study about the Gospel of John together. People do things like that, and then they wonder why they don't get any results. Have a purposeful track to run on, work the track, and teach to objections. There are objections that people have, and if you care about them, you will teach to those objections, and you hope that they voice them so that you can know what objections that you need to go over. And so if you're listening, you will hear those examples. If you care about people, you'll be willing to tell the truth under duress. Tell a quick story here. I had a young gal, again, you guys probably, I reuse my stories all the time, but I had a young gal that Brenna and I were working with, kind of a rough situation where things were bad at home in the family life, and I got there, and I had known the stepdad for a long time. I actually knew the stepdad a whole lot better than I knew the mom, and I get there, and this gal, she was, I don't know, 16 or 17 years old. I show up with Brenna so that we can have our first Bible study, and like I said, she was really struggling at home. Even though I knew stepdad and mom, it was not a good situation, and so I was trying to help. I mean, it's the opportunity that I had. I was trying to help this young lady, and, you know, she had kind of confided some things in us, and so we're there, and we get there, and young gal's not there. Stepdad's there. And stepdad literally starts grilling me on premillennialism. True story, right? And he's afraid that I'm going to be teaching his daughter about wrong things concerning the end times. This is a guy who basically considers himself a Christian and Church of Christ, but thought that we had end times theology wrong. Okay? So he's grilling me about all of this, about how, you know, am I going to be? I'm like, dude, the last thing I plan on talking to your daughter about is end times theology, right? That's like super down on the list of things that we're going to be talking about. Like, she's got a lot of real problems in her life, and eschatology is not one of them, okay? Like, let's get real here. But, you know, he's like, you know, he found a typo in Mr. Wilson's book or something, and he was mad. And he's one of these guys that is just, like, mad, right? So this is kind of interesting because I'm standing there keeping my cool. Again, my heart rate is up because this guy is coming at me for no reason whatsoever, and all I'm trying to do is to help this young lady, right? And he's coming at me, right? And I won't back down, and Brenna's standing there like, oh, man, she probably wanted to crawl in a hole, right? And so we go back and forth for way longer than I would now. Like, I would just end the conversation now and be like, okay, this, I know what this guy is about, because I did, but I didn't know what else to do at that time, right? So it was kind of interesting, because it ended with he got more and more fired up, more and more angry. He had been working in the garden, so he had some sort of garden hoe in his hand. And so with garden hoe in hand, he kicked me off of his property, right? Didn't get to study with the daughter, none of that. You're going to get off my property right now. Well, you know what? You can't back off the truth. You cannot back off the truth. And you got to love people enough to be able to go through situations where maybe you get threatened, maybe whatever, right? The souls are worth it. Also, if we're going to care about people, we're going to be willing to deal with all of the issues. One of the things that you find when discipling people is that people do have a certain amount of questions that they're just not willing to ask, or they haven't ever been comfortable enough to ask about the Bible. But a lot of times in working with people, you also end up working with their finances. You work with their relationships. You work with their work problems. You work with the whole gamut of things because that's what's going on in their lives. Right? And so you can't just be like, well, I'm here to study Bible. Like, nope, you got to be a parenting expert too. Right? Like, and don't say that you're a parenting expert because you ain't. Right? But people need help. People need help. And so if we care about them, we're going to help them. We're going to do the best that we can do. And sometimes we have to be persistent, and sometimes we got to know when to dust off our feet. Okay? But you make sure that you're doing it from a place of selflessness, not a place of selfishness. Particularly the dusting off your feet, what can happen is if you're doing this for long enough and if you've gotten hurt enough times, what can happen is that it's easier just to recycle old contacts that have already hurt you because it doesn't hurt as bad that way than it is to go out and to find new people to really make contacts with. That's when you got to decide, hey, you know what? They've got my number. And so they want to get a hold of me. Great, right? It's one of the reasons why, and this is maybe a bad thing, but like just the culture that I grew up in, when people aren't in assembly, I usually like don't pester them, right? I mean, if they're sick or something's going on or that sort of thing, like I'm concerned about them. I care about their lives. But growing up, it used to be like, you weren't at assembly? What kind of sin do you got going on in your life, Sue? You know, I mean, that's not what would be said, but that would be what's going on here, right? So I've actually maybe gone too far on the other hand because I don't like, hey, I want people to be here because they want to be here. I want people to be here because they find value in being here. And if it's because you don't want to disappoint me or I'm playing some sort of manipulation game to try to get you here, guess what, guys? I'm opting out. I want you to care about pleasing Jesus. And if Jesus is not enough motivation to get you with the saints, Marshall isn't going to be. I mean, let's be real here. But, a lot of times people try to play those games. Don't play the games, right? Be willing to go. There's somebody else who's a truth seeker. And then finally, be enthusiastic. Be interested in the material. If you're not interested in the material, other people are not going to be interested in the material. Take ownership of the scriptures. Paul called it my gospel. Now, the gospel was not about Paul. The gospel was about Jesus Christ, but he took ownership of the gospel because he cared about the good news. We can take ownership of the gospel. We can prepare that way. We can personalize it. We can use our own examples. We got to be ourselves. You don't try to be somebody else. That's traps that people fall into all the time. Again, I would encourage anybody to use the track to run on. I'm talking about the booklet series, but man, use the PowerPoints. Use your own examples. Don't just read stuff, right? If it was just about reading stuff, you could hand somebody a book, right? It's about making it your own. It's about personalizing it. And again, one of the reasons why I'm so big on the studies is because they're the booklets is because they're duplicatable. But you got to be yourself. I'm not going to lead the study the same way that Jeremy's going to lead the study, and he's not going to do it the same way I am. And I'm not going to do it the same way that Jay is. I had a really intimidating experience one time where Jay sat in on one of my studies. That was not particularly fun. I mean, it was appreciated, but like, I'm like, no, you should be leading the study, right? No. And, you know, I tried to get feedback, and he's really a nice guy, and I think he was still being honest, but he said a very nice thing. He's like, you did a better job than I would, which is totally not true. But I said, well, why is that? He's like, well, you stayed closer to the booklet than I would have, you know? So, you know, it was interesting again, because you're going to do things differently as you get more experience, right? Was there anything wrong with how I handled that stepdad? No, I did what I knew at the time. Would I do it differently today? Absolutely. I'm not standing there for 40 minutes again, right? We knew what the bottom line was, okay? And you got my number. Cool, right? But you learn things as you go, right? And the way that you, sometimes you have to step back and reevaluate and be like, okay, you know, how am I going to do this? You know, I know that my dad had to do that. He went from using the Jewel Miller videotapes to then using the track to run on it. It makes a difference, but you got to be you. And if you're trying to be somebody else, that's one of the things, again, I'm wrapping up. That's one of the things like that personally bugs me is when like people talk a certain way and have a certain enthusiasm in real life. And then they come up and preach and then it's a big show, right? It's like, well, wait, is this real? Or are you just, you know, Cedric the Entertainer or something? I don't know. Like be real, right? And people can tell when it is conjured up, right? People can tell when it isn't authentic. People can tell when it isn't real. And so be yourself, because then you don't got to think about it, okay? Be interested. Have real care about them as people. It's very interesting to me through the Gospels. Jesus was always about getting the message out, but he did care that the people didn't faint on their way home, right? So he's willing to give them food, what they needed, okay? And so we want to use what we have to do what Jesus did in seeking and saving the lost. And that's going to include reaching out to them. Again, enthusiasm. It's kind of interesting. Enthusiasm comes from two Greek words that mean God within. We're the only people, true Christians, that can really be enthusiastic, because we do have God within. He's the one who's powering us. It's his message. It's his spirit who's empowering us. We know from Ephesians 5:18 how to be filled with the spirit. So be enthusiastic about him. We're going to proclaim him with our lives, but God wants us to also proclaim him with our lips. Okay? Again, I'll remind us, the apostles, none of them got martyred for being nice people. And they got martyred for the things that they said. Okay? And so we want to, with love, communicate the truth to people. One last thought here is, you know, we all have to be involved in evangelism. We should want to be, and it's a privilege, but it's going to look different, guys. And that's okay, right? Just make sure that you're involved in being connected, each one of us, in a team effort to get the job done. It's allowed to look differently. You're allowed to have different things that work for you, things that you even specialize in, making contacts, you specialize in whatever it is. All of that's fine, and it's allowed to be individual towards you, right? And that's the encouragement, is that it doesn't have to look the same for all of us, but we have to have the same mind and the same judgment, the same commitment towards the goal and the mission that Jesus has left for us. So appreciate your time. Tried to do okay. Thanks for giving me a little extra.
5:22. Let's all stand up. 5:22. We'll sing the